The name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures, and Roman letter, chapter 9. You know, chapter 9, one of the toughest chapters, and you know, many of the fathers commented on this chapter specifically because the problem of choosing, how God chooses His people. And was it fair that God chose a special people, and on what basis He chose His people, and the whole idea of this kind of choosing. So I'll remind you with the basics. First of all, we have to remind ourselves that God wants everyone to be in heaven. His will is always perfect, and it's always for the sake of everyone. He does not want anyone to go to hell, but He wants to save everyone. But you know, because of the free will of man, man chooses to be God's man or against God. So it's all about the freedom of people, not about the will of God. But you know, in this chapter, St. Paul focused on the idea that God has also the free choice, the free will to choose people. Not of being unfair, but because He is also free. Because He chose the Jew people, and they were not good. They did not follow Abraham's faith. So He chose now the pagans, the new people, the new kingdom. So Jew people never accepted that God, you know, had this freedom to choose anyone but the Jew people. So St. Paul was defending God's freedom, not now defending man's freedom, but even God's freedom. What shall we say then? It's chapter 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Because when He chose Jacob and He did not choose Esau, was He unrighteous? Certainly not. For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So with this verse, this proves that God is always merciful. He is always compassionate. He tends to save people, not to push them to hell, not to reject anyone. But He had this freedom. He is allowed to choose whoever. So then it's not of Him who wills, nor of Him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Again, this verse does not mean that man has no will, has no part in this idea of choosing. But you know, it's all about the freedom of God. Yes, God is always merciful. So He is allowed to give mercy to some people who is not accepted by others. Jew people never believed that the pagans may enjoy the mercy of God. But He is free to do this. God is always free, and out of His righteousness, He wants everyone to catch the kingdom of heaven. So then it's not of Him who wills, nor of Him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Again, it means that when you go to heaven, it's not because you were good. It's not because you have done the perfect things you should do, but actually because of His mercy. God is merciful. That's why many people will end up in heaven. And that's all because He is merciful. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Again, because this verse, somebody may, you know, misunderstand it. Because the Pharaoh was always against God. The Pharaoh of Egypt in times of Moses, you know, he rejected the call. He rejected whatever Moses said at that time. And he was very stubborn. He believed in himself as God. So he never accepted to follow the real God. And God gave him many, many chances, but he never accepted anything. So out of his wisdom, God planned to make use of this stubborn heart to show his power, to prove to all generations that God is really powerful, and he is God the Almighty, and he can do whatever he wants. So not he pushed the Pharaoh of Egypt to be bad, because God will never do this with anyone, because God is always good. God is always righteous. But because the Pharaoh was very bad, so God made use of this to show the generations his patience and his power. Again, it was written, "For this very purpose I have raised you up," God speaking to about the Pharaoh, "that I may show my power in you," in the Pharaoh, "and that my name may be declared in all the earth." And that's exactly what happened. Because of these problems happened to the Pharaoh of Egypt, and the power of Moses, the man of God, you know, all people on earth knew that this is the real God, God of Moses. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Again, this word of hardening the heart, you know, it's not easy to understand, because if God is the real source of hardening the heart, now God is not good. Because to have a hard heart means that it's bad. And this is very wicked. And we cannot say that God hardened the heart absolutely. But because of somebody who hardens his heart many times, God may leave him to his toughness, to his attitude, and this will be called God hardens his heart. So as if God left him to his attitude, and he rejected God, and God let it this way in order to prove that he can make good things out of these bad things. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? Because if you take it, you know, in a superficial understanding, you will say, that's not the fault of a man now. Because if God hardens anyone's heart, now he is the one to be blamed. We can never blame anyone because God hardened his heart. But actually, when you ask your heart, is God the source of the hardening in your heart? I think you will, you know, confess that no, God tried with me many times. God is always trying to soften my heart, not to harden my heart. But because of my stubbornness, I harden my heart. And at a time, the grace of God may leave me to my choice, my attitude of hardening the heart. But indeed, again, you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who had resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Again, Saint Paul is defending the freedom of God, not the freedom of man, because it's well accepted by the people at that time. But the freedom of God is questionable. Because the Jew people said, God cannot, he is not allowed to think of anyone but Jew people. That's why he is trying to prove God's will for the salvation of everyone. God never hates anyone. God wants everyone to know him. And if he hardens anyone's heart, that's because he chose to do this. He is the one who started this. Like King Saul. King Saul started as a good man. But after some time, he rejected to be a good disciple of Samuel. And he started to be a bad man. God tried through Samuel the prophet many times. But King Saul was rejecting any spiritual message. And he added to his sin many, many bad things. You know, God left him to his heart. So it looked like that God shared in this hardening, but it was not God's will. It was man's will. But God, with his free choice, he left the man, because this man will never repent. He is always again. He was always against the spiritual message. Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? So no one can tell God why you created me this way. Because God created everyone on his image. God wanted for everyone to be saved. So you cannot ask God why you created me this way. You are not allowed to do this. You are the clay and he is the potter. And he wants everyone to be the best vessel. But you share in making yourself either a good vessel or a bad vessel. So from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. The vessel for honor, these are the holy people, the people of God, the good people. And the vessel for dishonor, those who are the bad ones who rejected the will of God and choose in their life to stay against God. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Please listen carefully, because this verse will help you to understand the whole problem. God, with his pre-knowledge, we spoke about this in the last chapter, chapter 8. God had this, which we never have, that God, he had the pre-knowledge. He can know, he can understand things will happen in the future. And because of his knowledge, he knew that this man will stay stubborn for the whole life. With his free choice, with his free will, he kept himself against the will of God. But although God knew this with his, you know, foreknowledge, again, God endured this with long suffering. He gave him all the good chances to know him, although God foreknew that it will end up by the destruction of this soul because of his free will, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. So let's go back to the story of the Pharaoh and Moses. Moses at one time was not very good. He killed somebody. But with the foreknowledge of God, he knew that Moses loved God, will choose God, will be a very good man. His will is always positive. When you go to the Pharaoh was always bad. He kept himself stubborn against the will of God. Although he had many, many good chances, he saw many miracles. So, looking to Moses was the vessel of honor because he responded positively to the will of God. And God foreknew this. So he gave him the chance to be good. And although he gave the chance for the Pharaoh to be good, he foreknew that Pharaoh will stay as bad as the end of the story. So that's, will explain the verse. He might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. So as if God, prepared Moses to be the vessel of glory, because Moses was ready for this. He responded to the grace of God. So the will of God was the same like the will of man here. But the will of God in case of the Pharaoh was against the will of man. And God in both cases gave enough chances. So with his foreknowledge, he knew the fate of this and that. And he wanted all to be good. But, the Pharaoh chose to be the vessel of dishonor. And God, declared this, that this vessel is for dishonor and this vessel for glory. Even us whom he called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So, you know, he make the application now on the idea of the Jew and the Gentiles. Because the Jew people, you know, was chosen by God because they were the offspring of Abraham, the chosen man, the holy man. But they did not go the same steps. They did not follow Abraham's faith. So they are rejected now. And the Gentiles at that time, they accepted to believe in God. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They became good Christians. So now they are the chosen people. And God had the free will to choose the Gentiles and reject the Jew. And that was always related to his foreknowledge, because he, you know, foreknew what is the response of these people and these people. And he says also in Hosea, he's now taking some of the verses from the Old Testament to prove that this, you know, declaration of the New Testament that God choosing now the Gentiles was also there in the Old Testament. I will call them my people who were not my people. So for those Gentiles who were never his people, he will call them with the end of the day in the New Testament, you will be my people. That's the Gentiles. And her beloved who was not beloved, the nations were not beloved, now they are beloved because of their faith. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. So, the witness of the Old Testament was very strong, that the Gentiles will be considered, with the end of the days in the New Testament, the sons of the living God. And that's exactly our name now. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. We were not chosen in the Old Testament, but because of our free will and also the free will of God himself to choose anytime, anyone, and he always choosing the believers who believed in him, now we are chosen people because we believed in him. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, another witness from the Old Testament to prove that the idea of accepting the Gentiles was there in the Old Testament. Although the Old Testament was the book of the Jew, and you know, they kept saying that our God is only our God, and no one follow God but us, the Jewish people. But the Old Testament said the opposite. Though the number of the children of Israel be at the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. So the remnant, you know, not the whole nation of Israel. No, that just very few of them will believe in Christ and will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. So that's the short work done by God, that he delivered the salvation to everyone, and now it's always related to the acceptance of people, to the belief of people, to the response of people. So this chapter proved that God is free to choose anyone, anytime, but his choice is always related to his foreknowledge. And man is also free within the limits of his life to respond to the call of God. And because of this response, men will be the vessels of honor or the vessels of dishonor. Glory to God. Amen.